I invite you to join with me by turning to the book of Romans chapter 1. We've been preaching some messages where the saints of God have made some I am statements, such as I am unworthy. We preached two of those messages where Peter said, I am a sinful man. And then Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And perhaps some others that I have forgotten the titles. This morning we want to look at I am debtor, and we'll see as we develop the message, actually there are two more I am statements for a total of three that we hear from Paul in this passage. But we'll call the message I am debtor and Romans chapter 1, and we'll begin reading at verse 9. The Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, states, For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was not led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. There's a practice used today by some to promote benevolence called pay it forward. In other words, the idea that you might do something good for someone, maybe you're at a restaurant and you go up to a stranger and just pay for his meal. And you tell him, well, don't worry about paying me back, just pay it forward. Do this same kind deed to someone else. And what we find here in verse 14 reminds me of this. You might see in verse 14, and we'll read it again, Paul says, I am debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. And what God had done for him in his grace moved him to be a debtor to others. It moved him to thankfulness and worship of God, but it moved him to a unique love and indebtedness to others that they might also have what God had given him. And so the Christian spirit and practice in Christ and the gospel of paying it forward is, I think, exemplified here in this passage. And let me just say that grace makes such a person. In other words, the grace of God makes you a debtor to others. You sense a responsibility to tell others of Jesus Christ, to pray for others in need. When you receive the abundance of God's grace, it makes you sensitive to others who have not yet received the grace of God. And so it makes you, as Paul said here, a debtor. I think of when Jesus told Peter, you know, when Peter denied him and Jesus restored him, what did he tell him? Feed my sheep. Now, I see in this, Jesus is saying, Peter, the way you can honor me for the grace I have given you is by teaching others who I am, by teaching them my gospel and feeding them the true word of God. Your love for me, your thankfulness for me can be demonstrated by paying it forward, as it were, by doing good to others as I have blessed you, that they also may receive the grace of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, when Jesus gave the 12 apostles the gifts of healing and miracles, he told them in Matthew 10:8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. In other words, you have been a receiver, and so now you need to be a giver. And the grace of God that makes you a receiver turns the heart of the child of God into a giver. This is what I believe we see here. Now, Paul's salvation, his apostleship, and his call to preach the gospel were all given by the grace of God. I think what Jesus told Ananias, you know, when he went to Ananias and Jesus had appeared to Paul, and he says this to Ananias of Saul, of course, at that time, whom he had just converted, in Acts 9:15, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel." He is a chosen vessel. Now you understand, everyone here today that knows Jesus Christ is a vessel of grace. Matter of fact, there are only two, a vessel of mercy and a vessel of wrath. The Bible's real simple. There's a heaven, there's a hell, there's faith in Jesus Christ, and there are those that die in their sin. And as a vessel of mercy, Paul followed this analogy, and he tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:7, we have this treasure. And in the context, the treasure is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's say you're among a multitude of people that are starving, and you have all kinds of food. Would you not, you know, if you have been graced and blessed with all kinds of food, would you not feel compelled to help those that are in need? We have a treasure. Each of you here that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you have the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ that you believed, and you have an understanding of that message. Now, there are family and friends and neighbors that do not have a clear understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you have this great wealth of treasure. You ought to sense, like the Apostle Paul, an indebtedness, a sense of responsibility to take that gospel to others, to pray for others. Look with me in our text in verse 5, what he says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 5. He says, by whom, this is by Jesus Christ, if you look at the previous verse, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Now, the way it puts it separate, grace and apostleship, I'm thinking that the initial grace is God's saving grace, and then the apostleship is the grace of being gifted as an apostle. And this is given for a purpose, that he might take the gospel to the world, that people by an obedient faith would believe the gospel and be saved. Let me quote a verse that's really, I think, summarizes this thought and expresses it very well. And it's 2 Timothy 2:10. Listen to this. This is the Apostle Paul. He said, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Listen to that again. I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also, meaning I have, but that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is this indebtedness that he sensed. Now, this is what you ought to sense if you're a child of God here today. Now, the measure of gifts may be much lesser than that of the Apostle Paul, but in proportion, we should respond to the treasure that has been given us. We have been given the same treasure. We have not been given the unction and empowerment as the Apostle Paul to be an apostle and so forth, but we have been given this treasure of the gospel, and we ought to indeed endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain salvation. Go with me to 2 Timothy. You might mark your place here. We will be coming back. But if you'll go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll do verses 8 through 14. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I'd like for you to follow in your Bible as I read, beginning at verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Spirit which dwelleth in us. Now let's look at this passage. Paul speaks of the grace of God which effectually brought us salvation and prepared us for the service of God. Note that he uses the us in verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Now, he's talking about salvation, but he's also talking about the calling of equipping the service. That's also by grace. Every gift that we receive is by the grace of God. And what we find here, that he includes us and he is including himself. So look again at verse 11 here. He says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Meaning this gospel that he received by the grace of God and these particular gifts, he has received by the grace of God to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles is what this is speaking of here. Not just salvation, but these various gifts. Now, how does this tie into the point? Well, look now at verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now if you look with me at verse 12, when he says, for the which cause I also suffer these things, he's talking about the cause of the gospel, which he had received by the grace of God. He's talking about he had been appointed to this. He had received the gifts of apostleship and of preaching and of teaching. And these he received by the grace of God. And therefore, because of that, because he had received these things of God, he is then suffering for the cause of Christ. This is the idea here. Now, look with me at verse 14 of this chapter 1. He says, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Spirit which dwelleth in us. Now, that good thing, what is the good thing? Well, if you look at verse 13 with me, he says, hold fast, and he's talking to Timothy. Now, we can apply it to each of us in a measure, but he's talking to Timothy. He said, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing, which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Spirit, which dwelt in us. So the sound words is what he's talking about here. Paul was giving him apostolic teaching. That's what the New Testament is. It is the apostolic teaching. That is, they laid the foundation. Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. But we know from 1 Timothy that he had not just committed to him sound apostolic teaching. He had committed to him the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. Let me quote that verse to you. We won't turn there. But let me quote 1 Timothy 1:11. Paul says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. In other words, Paul had been entrusted with the gospel. Paul had been entrusted with sound doctrine. He is now committing that to Timothy. In other words, he is passing on that which God gave him. He's paying it forward, as it were. Now, to see how this continues, look at chapter 2. Look at chapter 2 and look at verses 1 and 2 as we'll read them. 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, Paul, there is a uniqueness here. Paul is an apostle, and he is the one that received the revelation of the gospel we find in Galatians 1. He is committing it to Timothy, who's a missionary and evangelist, and here a pastor at this time of the church of Ephesus, and telling him to commit this gospel, commit this apostolic teaching to others. And so he's passing it on. But you understand that there's an application to us. There's an application. Each of us, in measure, have received truth. We've received the grace of God. We've received a particular gift. We have received great treasures. And so we are indebted to give to others. God didn't make us a dead-end street. He has given us these things that we might be a blessing to others. That's the idea, you see. Now, it's interesting because we'll be looking in a minute. He also uses this expression back in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy. Look at verse 12. We'll be looking at this in a minute. He said, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." And as I've taught you before, that expression is not just stating the negative. To say I am not ashamed is really Paul saying, I glory. And what he is saying here, that he glories in the truth, he glories in the gospel. We find in the book of Galatians, he says this, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." When Paul went to Rome, and we'll look at it in a minute in verse chapter 1, verse 16 of Romans, and he said, "For I am not ashamed of the glory of Christ," he was saying, and he was going to the great metropolis, the city of cities at that day. He was going to Rome, and the capital there, you see, of the very Roman Empire, and he was going there, and he was glorying and boasting and rejoicing in the gospel message. He saw that as great treasures. Sometimes, when we were singing earlier, I'll just give a personal testimony. When we were singing earlier in our congregational hymns, I had such joy in my heart that sometimes I have a particular picture that I think of, and that's me reaching my hand down into a treasure box and just treasure. Now, that may sound silly, but that's the way I think sometimes. There have been times when God has graced, blessed me in such a way, and that I look at this as a treasure, something that other people would not think is a treasure. But to me, to be able to worship the Lord is great riches. To be able to see someone trust Christ is great riches. Sometimes with your family, and by God's grace, they've saved and worked in their lives, and you're able to gather in the name of Christ. That's a gift of God. That's great riches. And I rejoice in those things, you see. And we certainly should. We should glory in the riches of Jesus Christ. Now, as I shared with you, and I invite you to go back now to Romans chapter 1. And what we find here, Paul says, "I am debtor," in verse 14. In other words, he's paying it forward. We'll review that again. And then verse 15 of Romans 1, look at verse 15. Verse 15, he said, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." And then at verse 16, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, that everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now, to help you fix this in your memory, that is Paul's perspective of ministry, which should be ours also, and what his heart and spirit is in the gospel, I want you to consider, as we have been already, I am debtor, that's paying it forward. I am ready, we're going to show you that's praying it forward. And I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, that's preaching it forward. So to pay it forward, to pray it forward, and to preach it forward. Now we've already been dealing with I am debtor, to pay it forward. By the grace of God in Christ, Paul received his salvation. And by the grace of God, he received the gifts of preaching, teaching, and apostleship. And this moved Paul. It moved his spirit, and he was filled with a sense of indebtedness to preach the gospel that had been committed him to him freely to preach it to others. Now, he responded to God in thanksgiving and worship and praise. But his relationship to others by his response of receiving this grace to God is worship and praise and thanksgiving. But his response to others is to pay it forward. In other words, to what God had given him in grace and mercy. There is the return of worship and praise, but there is a sense in which God also says, freely you have received, freely give. Feed my sheep. Take the gospel into all the world. Now let's look at this. I am ready. Pray it forward. In chapter 1, let's read verse 15 again of chapter 1 of Romans. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel. He says, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. Now this word ready means to be willing, to be inclined towards something. Here is Paul's willingness. It's his ready inclination to preach the gospel. It's dealing with his spirit. His spirit is ready. His spirit is predisposed to do this. He's got a heart for this, you see. And let me just ask you, do you have a heart for others? Do you have a heart for the gospel? Do you have a heart for the Word of God? Do you want to enjoy the Word of God? And do you want to give it unto others? Now, as you look at this, how does this tie in with prayer? Because we said, pray it forward. Well, look at verse 9 with me in your Bibles. Romans chapter 1 and verse 9. Look at it here. It says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. You see, this is the idea here. He says, I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. Then he goes on, that without ceasing I make mention of you in my prayers. That's where this willing spirit and prayer come together. I want you to see this. Paul connects a willing spirit, a ready spirit. That's what the idea is. I am ready. He connects it with prayer. And so the Apostle Paul's service to God in the gospel was a willing and a ready spirit. This moved him to pray without ceasing. And so you might ask, what's the connection? Why, with a willing spirit, is one, why was he then moved to prayer? Well, I think he submitted himself to the Lord's teaching. I think he knew something about human nature. And he knew what our Lord taught us. Listen to Matthew 26, 41. This is Jesus' words. He said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So even if you have a willing spirit, you have to have the spirit's power because the flesh is weak. You can purpose to do things and you won't do them. You'll fail unless you're led of the spirit, unless you're filled with the spirit. And so a willing heart should lead to a heart of prayer, a heart of seeking God, that God would give you the power of his spirit. I've shared this with you before. When I was young in the Lord and serving under Brother Younger, we were talking about someone and I mentioned about, I think people have witnessed to him. And he said, well, they probably haven't had someone witness to him filled with the Spirit. And when I first heard that, I thought he was being a little prideful. But then I began to think about that. And many times, we are not led. We're not filled with the Spirit of God. It makes a difference. If we have been prepared, if we've prepared our hearts, and we're led and governed by the Holy Spirit of God, what we do, it must be done by the strength, the life, the wisdom, and power of the Holy Spirit. This is why he talks about prayer. What did our Lord tell the apostles and the early church? In Luke 24:49, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." We need power. I need power in preaching. You know what? You need the power of the Spirit in hearing. There's some of you that it's just going in one ear and out the other. There's a couple, it's not even going in your ear. We need to be able to hear. We need to be able to understand the Word of God and be strengthened by it, you see. Now, as we think of this, Jesus taught us that the Spirit can be willing, but the flesh is weak. And this is why he commands us to watch and pray. So if we're going to pay it forward, we must pray it forward. If you're going to share the gospel with others, you need to do it by God's power. We need the grace of God to take the gospel to others. We must only move forward in prayer because you need the wisdom, the life, and power of the Holy Spirit. Who is it that convicts? Who is it that awakens the heart? Who is it? Now, God uses means, but we trust in God and seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Spirit must convict and enlighten the sinner's heart, or he will not respond to the truth of the gospel. Jesus taught this very clearly. Listen to John 6:63. "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life." Now, have you ever thought about this? We won't do a show of hands, but obviously the majority of here are saved, know Jesus Christ as Lord, members of the church, even saved, visiting members of other churches. Have you ever thought about this, that people prayed for you? People prayed for you. I know, look, we got Doug and Bev visiting. I know I prayed for her as she was growing up and her family. And even Doug, of course, they served here. How long were you guys actually here after you? Oh man, that's longer than I realized. Yeah, he was here a long time. And prayed for him during that time. And you've prayed for people. Right now, you have people you're praying that God will save them. Now, you know, we must, when people pray, they're always sovereign grace. It's only Arminian in their tactics. Because if you believe that, I mean, why are you praying to God to save someone if he can't save people? You know what I mean? If it's all left up to them. And it's the same thing. You take an Arminian thanking God for his salvation. He becomes one that believes in sovereign grace because he knows it's of him, of God. But you pray for people, and God uses that. I mean, I've seen evidence of God being under conviction. I've seen evidence of God leading me to people at particular times when they're under conviction. I was at Kroger's. I was just going to my lunchtime, and a truck was pulled up there and barely could see him. Way up in front of an empty trailer, a trucker was sitting up there. I was moved to go and talk to him. And I started talking to him. Man, he was under conviction, started telling me his mother's a Christian and been praying for him for years. Now, I'd like to tell you to say he made a profession of faith at that time, but to my knowledge, you know, I can't remember him doing that. But I know that God used my witness at that time. You see? And so we need to pray. Others have prayed for you. We need to pray. We need to pray that God would give life to those who are praying for, to their dead spirit, and help them to receive the gospel in faith. And so to pay it forward, we have to experience the grace of God. But we need to pray it forward, because you're not going to do the works of the flesh do not profit anything. We need to pray that God give us the Spirit, God lead us, give us opportunities. You see, not just preachers. We're going to get to a passage in a minute. You know, I'm not an apostle, but this applies to me. You're not apostles. You're not called to preach. But still, we're called to take the gospel to the world, collectively, corporately as a church, and also as individuals. That's what I want you to see. And so to pay it forward, you must pray it forward. Well, now let's look at verse 16 of Romans chapter 1. Look at verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, that is in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You're saved by faith, you're kept by faith, and your relationship to God never changes. Faith is believing in what God accomplished in Jesus Christ. Salvation is not doing, salvation is believing. Salvation's not by works, salvation's by grace. And that makes people to have hearts that are indebted to others and hearts that are thankful to God. This is the idea here. Then Paul gives a third I am. The first one we dealt with, I am debtor. And we want you to remember because of that we should pay it forward. And then I am ready, a willing spirit, but you need to pray to be filled with the Spirit. Pray it forward. But now I am not ashamed, we need to preach it forward. And we read that in chapter 1 in verse 16. How about the book of Romans, chapter 10 and verse 14? How then shall they call in him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You see? And it goes on and it talks about sending, if we read the next verse. Look at it again and listen to this. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not heard, and how shall they believe in him, call on him in whom they have not believed? Let me read that again. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Now think about that. Let me just pause here. I want you to see that. Brother Keener brought that out years ago in a preaching here. What precedes? Look at this. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Now, according to that, what comes first, calling or believing? Let me read it one more time. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? In other words, you believe and you call upon the Lord. And so the belief, you see, that's by the grace of God. Now, the Scripture teaches that God's Spirit has empowered his church that he built, and we know on the day of Pentecost, he poured his Spirit out as a sign, though of course to empower them, but he gave signs to show, just like he did in the Old Testament Israel, a pillar of fire by night, a pillar of cloud by day, and we are the Israel of God, and he has given the congregation, the assembly, the ecclesia, and God is among us, and he gathers us together in a unified effort. And it is to his church that he gave the responsibility to disciple the nations, to preach the gospel to every creature, you see. So he empowered his church, just like we said. That's why he said, wait, don't go out and do this in your own strength. Do it by the power of my Spirit. And think of what has been accomplished. Think of how many thousands of miles and years we are removed from Jesus Christ in Palestine. And yet we're here worshiping the Lord at Pleasant View Baptist Church. And you see the power of that great command. And so we need to preach it forward. In other words, as a church, we have the responsibility. That's why we give offerings. So as you see in the back, we can send missionaries. Now, this church, though a small church, actually has two missionaries sent out right now. Brother Anocha Singh and Nepal. He is ordained member of this church, sent out from this church to take the gospel there in Nepal, there in Kathmandu, Nepal. They have a congregation and organized, and he's a preaching point at Ladipur, and he's working with people over the internet on Skype and Zoom and serving the Lord. Then we have Patab there in near Bhubaneswar in India, a little town called Kota, and he's working. And he has a facility there. Right now he has five deaf and dumb young men. Well, they're in their 20s, mid-20s, and some that he helps out. He's taking the gospel to different people in his area, going into their homes, preaching the gospel. And of course, we sent out Brother Chuck Petrowski to establish a church in Harrogate, England, and still working with him. So, and of course, many others we give monthly support to. This is the idea, you see. This is one of the ideas. But beyond that, there is your personal involvement in that. In other words, every Christian is responsible to evangelize others with a gospel witness. Experience teaches us, as well as the scriptures that give us examples, that many come to faith in Jesus Christ through the gospel witness of a friend, of a family member, not necessarily at a church service or by a preacher. And so God has called every believer to evangelize. He has called every one of us. He's given us that treasure. He's given us that grace to do this. Now, I didn't intend on you turning there, but I want you to see this. So go with me to Acts chapter 8. I want you to understand this point here. I think this is the most beautiful passage, our clear passage that shows personal and yet corporate responsibility with the gospel. In other words, it's not, well, you know, I give my tithe at the church and I don't have to witness. I don't need to pray for anyone. Every one of you should have someone that you're praying for, someone that God has on your heart, and pray for them, perhaps give them material, and do things to give them the knowledge of salvation in Jesus Christ. So looking at Acts chapter 8, let's begin at verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, that is the death of Stephen. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Now note, I want you to note something. The pronoun they, the antecedent is the church at Jerusalem. Now this was a large church. Started out with 120 and then increased in one day by 3,000. And later more. And a lot of people say, well, how could they ever meet? Well, it tells us they met at Solomon's porch. There in the temple was a long colonnade with a cover over it. And that's where they would gather and meet, you see? And so now because of the persecution, they're scattered. Verse 2, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore they, again, the ones scattered, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Look at verse 4. Actually, there's two different Greek words here. So let's get a little lesson here. In verse 4, it's the word euangelion. In other words, they evangelized. In verse 5, it's the word caruso, which means to herald, to proclaim, to preach, like I'm doing now. And so every one of them that were scattered, they evangelized. They told others, their friends and people that they met, they shared the gospel with them. And then in a formal sense, Philip heralded the gospel. He was ordained. Apparently, it looked like the origination of the deacons in earlier chapter. But we find in a later chapter of Acts, he was an evangelist, a missionary. So he wasn't just a deacon. He was a missionary. He was a preacher. And in this chapter, he goes on and establishes a church. But the others evangelized. Everyone in the church that was scattered, they evangelized. This is the idea. So let me just stop here. Do you share the gospel with other people? Do you ladies carry some tracts around and if you get opportunity to share with someone? I mean, you can pray and God can help you in that. You can leave something when you go out to dinner. But now if you leave a tract, make sure you leave a good tip. So don't go out, not leave a tip, leave a tract. That'd be a bad testimony, wouldn't it? But you want to be a witness. And I've often said to people, my line is, you know, there's few people, or rather I phrase it this way, there's many people that have never had a clear presentation of the gospel. This tract will help you in that. You see? And just witness to people. And that's not just for the preacher. That's for you. That's for your neighbors. And you pray and God will give you the inclination. He'll help you to present the gospel, you see. And that's what God called us to. Listen, I'm going to quote a passage here from Corinthians. And Paul says, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos, but ministers? And the word there is actually servants. By whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now, he said, we were instrumental by whom people believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. It sounds at first reading, he might be saying he gave every man a minister, but what he means is that he gave every man faith that came to faith. In other words, he's talking about what we call an instrumental cause and an efficient cause. God has chosen that we take the gospel to people. And that's an instrumental cause. But who is it that quickens the dead person from spiritual death to spiritual life? Who gives them eyes to see and ears to hear? Look at the analogy of salvation. A dead man resurrected, new creation, a new birth, and the blind receiving sight. Those are what we call works of God. And so we take the gospel to them. That's the instrumental means. But the efficient cause, the Lord gives to every man. He doesn't finish the thought. It's understood he gives to every man faith. We are the instrument. How do I know that? Well, the next verse tells us. He says, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. That's what he's talking about. We are the instruments to take the gospel, but it's God that gives the increase. That's why he receives the glory for salvation. Now, are you watering? Are you planting? That's not just for apostles. That's not just for pastors. That's for every church member, you see. And so we think, I am debtor. Pay it forward. I am ready. Pray it forward. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Preach it forward. And by preach, I'm not just, as we said, I'm using it as it's used in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. They went everywhere preaching the word, evangelizing, proclaiming the good news, giving the good news of others. And you know, if you start asking people questions, you'll find out how ignorant people are. You ask people, what is the gospel? First of all, they can't answer. Most, well, the Bible. Well, the Bible's the word of God. But I can believe that about the story about Noah, and that won't necessarily save me. The gospel is the good news that God accomplished salvation in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. All that believe that will be saved. That's the gospel. And you know, a lot of people don't know what the gospel is. I mean, you just start talking to people. I often ask them, if you were to die today, where'd you spend eternity? Of course, you got to watch the situation today. Be in a situation, you know, you're alone somewhere, and you're going to kill me. But if you were to die today, where are you going to spend eternity? All right, a lot of people, they say, I hope heaven. Here's the scenario. 80%, I hope heaven. Now, they don't say I have a hope of heaven, a biblical hope. They just mean I hope. You know, like I hope it doesn't rain. I hope I get the bus on time and that kind of hope. And I say, then that leads to another question. What do you base that hope upon? Well, then it comes out. Well, you know, I live a pretty good life. I keep the commandments. Something like that. And then when you bring it to their attention, you know, you've said all that. You've not said one thing about Jesus Christ and him dying on the cross. Oh, yeah, I believe that too. But the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. They've already revealed what they're trusting in. And you have neighbors, you have people that you have opportunity to witness to, and they believe that they're going to go to heaven by their good works. And you have the treasure. You have the truth. You can tell them the truth. And God may use that and give them the gospel. The Bible's called the gospel seed. The gospel seed. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men. And the Holy Spirit said, I will convict of sin and of unbelief. Now, the only way they can be convicted of unbelief of the gospel is to hear the gospel. So basically, when you sow the seed, using a physical analogy, it is only then that they can become pregnant, as it were. You get the analogy? The seed has to be there. The gospel has to be there to bring them to that. Plus, you're bringing in the work of the Holy Spirit to convict them of unbelief. Because if they haven't had a clear presentation of the gospel, then they don't have real conviction about the unbelief of the gospel. And so it begins to bring conviction in people's lives. And so you have been blessed that are saved. God has been gracious to you. And the Lord would say, you freely have received, freely give. Pass it on. Pay it forward. Now we give glory and praise to God. But in relationship to people, God's grace gives us a desire to pay it forward. But to do that, you better pray it forward. Because you can't do it in the power of the flesh. And you better preach it forward. You better share the gospel of Jesus Christ, as they did in Acts chapter 8. All of them that were scattered, evangelized. And so that's for all of us. We have that responsibility. But let me close with this. Perhaps there's someone that's never trusted Jesus Christ today. The church provides for me and gives me the ability to preach to you. So if you're here today and lost, the church, by way of their minister, is seeking to pay it forward, to let you know that you can be saved today by trusting in Jesus Christ. That's the message we received, and we're saved. You could do that today. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's all stand. Brother Buddy, come. We're going to sing a couple of verses of invitation.